Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards, and say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.
And a black lady was in charge of said cult. Okay. So let's get into what happened in Georgia.
Georgia.
And guess what the cult was actually called? The House of Prayer.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's another House of Prayer.
Stop.
It's not the House of Prayer for all people with fingernail, fingernail, sweet daddy.
Sweet.
But it is, in fact, the House of Prayer. For all people. So.
These are their stories.
Episode 50. Today, we are going to talk about a lady named Mother Anna. But her actual name is Anna Young. Mother. Not Mother, M-U-T-H-A. But Mother Anna. Okay? So, from the outside, Mother Anna looked like she was a regular, savior, God-fearing woman. She was devoted to the Pentecostal faith. Have you ever been to a Pentecostal church before?
Oh, girl. Girl, yes. I grew up in the church, so I know exactly what this is giving.
Okay.
I know what this is giving.
So if any of my listeners, anybody had ever been to a Pentecostal church, you already know what type of time Pentecostal was on.
Holy Ghost skirts.
Mm-hmm. You know you was in church all day. Mm-hmm. Women don't need to wear pants. Mm-hmm. Women don't need to wear red lipstick.
Head coverings.
Cover your shit. And here's the gag. My auntie was a member of a Pentecostal church here where I live, and I used to hate spending the weekend at her house because we would have to go to church on Sunday, and I hated it because we went to church at 8-9 in the morning, and we got home at 8-9 p.m. Mm-hmm. P.M. P.M. I don't know anything about a 12-hour church service. As a child, it was giving, girl, I'm ready to go. Where's my mama? Because my mama was the lady that would pull up in the church in a pantsuit with a nasty red lip and be like. Because Shirley was a girl. So there's a lipstick that ladies used to wear back in the early 80s. It was by Revlon and it was called Cherries in the Snow.
Okay.
It was a red lipstick with a blue base. So it was a dark, sexy red that all the girls used to wear.
Jezebel!
And my mom used to have red nails, too. So you already know that was not what type of time they were on. And then, you know what? That gives me an idea. Yeah, I'm going to talk about this because I know people from Charlotte listen to it. Guess what I'm going to talk about? Probably in the next couple weeks. Bishop Sherman. And the Pentecostal temple that's located on the plaza. I don't know if you like it. I don't know if you went there. But guess what I did? My auntie did. And then after Pentecostal temple, she went to Salem. Salem is located off of Brookshire. And their pastor went to jail for tax fraud.
Of course he did.
Mail fraud. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife both went to jail for frauds.
Holy
gosh. And they got out.
Holy gosh.
And now everybody's like, He's still that nigga. But you actually have a felonious record. He just recently got an award for Man of the Year. But you also did 15 years in the feds for scamming your church patrons of their coins for a building fund for a building that has not ever come to light.
Child, they never put a doorknob on the building. They ain't screwing a light bulb. Mm.
But let's move on from that because the girls are going to be mad about that. And guess what? You can stay mad about it because I don't give a fuck because I didn't go there. Anyway, let's get back into the Pentecostal faith that Anna was involved in. So at which point she decided to develop her own interpretations of the Bible and she wanted to share her ideas with everybody else, which I fully understand because I would prefer to read the Bible and interpret it in a way that makes sense for my life. I would rather not have somebody tell me what they think it means and make me have to believe what they think it means for my life. I get it, Anna. Okay. So in the 1980s, she took her people from her rural Florida community who were down and out and just like down bad. And she brought them with her, gave them food, gave them somewhere to eat. And it was just like, oh yeah. So that community, she named the House of Prayer. Okay. Even though we already had a House of Prayer, she named hers the House of Prayer because it's not the for all people. So it's just the House of Prayer. It's not the United House of Prayer. It's just the House of Prayer.
Okay.
Because it is a house of prayer.
Sure.
Because that's what they're doing, I guess, huh? You know what I'm saying? Fact. She made it seem like it was a place for second chances in life. People who had been in trouble with drugs and the law could just kind of come back, get their bearings, get their life together, and through religion and hard work could get their life back on track. So Anna said that, you know, you can't just dress like whatever you want in here. You can't just wear whatever the fuck you want up in here.
Oh,
you're gonna wear what I tell you to wear. So Anna says that they had to wear long robes. White robes.
Holiness.
White robes. They had to change their names to biblical names. So, being from Georgia,
she's so stupid.
If your name was LaShondra, you couldn't be in house prayer with a name like LaShondra. Your name was about to be Sister Mary Clarence. I don't know.
Oh man, this is bad. Okay.
Sister Mary Clarence.
I have, oh man. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, that could have been a name. I don't know.
I'm over here just like groaning under my breath for most of this because me in church. So I'm not saying a whole lot, but trust me, I'm feeling the feelings, child. Okay, girl. Okay.
Okay, so, and then they were always had like sister or brother in front of their name. So like I said, Sister Mary Clarence was probably, but this was before Sister Act, so. Might not have been Sister Mary Clarence, but it might have been Sister Mary Agnes.
Oh, man. Okay.
Sister Mary, period. Who knows? So, they called her Mother Anna, and she was the person that was in charge of all this stuff. They said that she was very strict. She was very pious, but she was also very much a murderer.
In the name of Jesus, I stab you. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, sister. This is so stupid. All right. Let's go to church. All right.
All right. So, in... Okay. Like I always say, I always preference these gags and laughs with, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing to keep from being pissed off and upset at the audacity of people that think they can rule other people based on the Bible. People think they can tell people what to do because they say the Bible said. The Bible actually did not say, do what you did to that baby. And I'm going to get into it. But the Bible did not say, marry. Anna, Sister Mary Clarence. It did not say do what you did to those kids. It did not say that.
Okay.
It might have said spare the rod, spoil the child, but it did not say I'm a follow up with that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What it did not say, I'm gonna follow up with that. Anyway, Mother Anna did not exist in 1973. Her name was Anna Davidson. She loved disco. You know, she was a disco girl because Anna was not an ugly girl. Anna was a very pretty young lady. Dimples, nice skin. Touch the skin, honey. Anna was very cute, okay?
Mm.
Anna was very cute.
Okay.
She loved disco, like I said, and she lived in Chicago with her husband, who was named Robert, and their kids. Now, when I say their kids, this is the gaggy part about it. Her daughter is the one that brought this whole thing down to the ground. Her daughter. Mm-mm. Which, thank God, she goddamn did. So, there was a six-year-old girl who was reported missing with her Raggedy Ann doll. And the six-year-old girl who was reported missing...
Sorry, we got this shut up because I thought she was about to say, there was a six-year-old girl reported missing with her raggedy ass. Like I was about to say, damn! Yeah,
you know I be down bad, but I ain't about to do the kids like that.
I'm
like,
sorry. I was saying kids, right? Whew, I had to get that out because I was about to laugh. All right.
So Catherine, who was Anna's husband's biological daughter and Anna's stepdaughter, was found missing. The story that was told was that they went to a park to get to a picnic. And once they got there, the family and the kids went down to the water. And 15 minutes later, Catherine was missing. So everybody came, looked through the joint, tried to figure out what's going on. But nobody ever found anything. Ever. Okay. Now, back then, the parents told the police that they were like eager to be in the search because, of course, this was their kid. Then the local police reported that the third night the little girl was missing, that Anna and Robert were seen in a station wagon with another couple around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said that they were all sitting around laughing, drinking beer. They had like open bottles in the car, and it was like, they didn't look like they was like grieving parents of a lost right. child. Like, I'm not about to be sitting in no car. I might have a bottle of wine turned up to my head, but
okay,
I'm gonna be mascara running, hair poked up, as RJ said, like sweats. I might have on a muumuu. I don't know, but I'm gonna be down bad if my kid is missing.
You'd be lucky if I have clothes on. What?
I might be running around the parking lot like
stink.
My hat, very, very musty from here. Okay. Very teeth terrible. Like, I don't have time. So they just was like, oh, they don't look like they give a shit. They don't care. So after 2 weeks, you know, the kids had started telling the same story as the parents, but initially the kids was like not saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there is Anna's daughter. I'm not gonna say her name because she's still kind of like reeling from all this stuff. But Anna's oldest daughter, who was not even born at the time, told the police that her older sister, which was not the one that passed, but they have another kid, of course, told the police that her older sister said that years after Kathy died, they actually found her in a closet at the house in Chicago. She said that her sister described hearing scratches and stuff all night in the closet. Man, and out of nowhere, it just stopped. And she went to the closet and she saw Kathy's little body in the closet in a fetal position. Right? So they said she went missing. But the sister says, and you know what would be funny? Like, I don't think kids make up shit like that.
They don't.
Like, kids make up bullshit. Like, when somebody, like, punched them and they got into a fight on the park, they make up shit like that. I don't think a kid would make up seeing their sibling in a closet.
Yeah, man.
Dead body. I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh.
So, the police came up, did a little stuff, and they kind of just, like, figured out that, hey, that was a cover-up. Of fucking course it was.
Yeah.
So, in the grief of Kathy's passing, that's where they said that Anna and Robert turned to the Lord. And because, you know, in the midst of tragedy, you must turn to the Lord to.
I'm a piece of shit. I'm a hide behind Jesus. So they won't know I'm a bastard. Okay, girl. I hate it here.
So at which point, they left Florida and they moved to Zebulon, which was 50 miles lower of Atlanta. And that was where all of the house of prayer things and all the stuff came to fruition. They said that Anna had finally like got into like the Old Testament set of beliefs, like very Old Testament. I couldn't even tell you a passage in the Old Testament because I can tell you Jesus wept. No tea, no shade. Jesus wept. That was my Sunday school.
That nigga was crying. That's
all I know. That's all I know. And hey, at which point, I don't have time for any of that.
All right, I'm sorry.
Some of y'all might be mad about this episode, but also, I really don't give a fuck. Be mad. Don't be mad. Fuck with it. Don't fuck with it. I don't care. I'm going to say what I want to say because these are the things I want to say in regards to religion. Okay. So they said that when she took into the Old Testament set of beliefs, that meant that everybody that was living in the house at the time had to wear full length robes and they adhered to a Levitical diet. You want to look up what that is real quick. Levitical
diet. That's my cousin's name.
What's his name? Leviticus?
Levitical.
Levitical? Mm-hmm. How old is he?
Is it bad that she believes me?
Ain't nobody damn cousin name. No damn Levitical.
His name Levitical.
The rules of eating was laid out in the book of Leviticus. Essentially. Hold on.
You got it?
Essentially, they kept kosher.
Okay.
So they had a kosher diet, which is not unheard of. A lot of people live by the kosher diet.
Sure.
Cool.
Fab.
Do whatever you gotta do, baby. But as for me in my house, these oxtails are getting braised, baby. The oxtails are getting braised, baby, and that's that.
Baby. Yes, baby.
This is out of pocket. Somebody is gonna sue the fuck out of my ass.
Come on, braised oxtails.
It's giving red wine rings with a little gravy and a little scotch bonnet.
That doesn't sound very Levitical.
Okay.
All so.
This is dumb. All right.
All right. So once they got down in Georgia, they put down their rules, did whatever they had to do in a remote location, of course. They met somebody else. Robert and Anna met somebody else in Georgia and they signed a deed for 4 acres of property in another area of Florida. So obviously they were going to move again. And that was when actually the House of Prayer for All People started with their quote, quote, good deeds. Now, the unnamed daughter said that her mother prayed with people and took in children and sometimes whole families. But at some point, things changed. Now, where they lived, they were off of like a rural road or whatever. And they know that at that place, there was not a lot of children. So 30 years ago, there was a person who was 10 years old. Him and his sister were riding their bikes down the dirt road in a dirt path. And they ran onto a back road where there was like a bunch of moss and all type of stuff. And you couldn't see shit. It was cool. And then they saw a big house. And the house had a bunch of wooden crosses nailed to the outside. And there was kids there. And they was like, oh shit, it's some fucking kids. Hell yeah, baby, we want to go see. But then when they saw the kids, all the kids had on long robes. They were chilling outside. They saw the other people and was like, fuck. And like hit it and went into the house.
Interesting.
And they never saw those kids ever again.
Oh, okay.
Those were the kids of the House of Prayer at this point. It started about mid-80s. It had 24 members at its largest operation. And they recruited by several methods, which was taking people from rehab centers and nursing homes and taking children from parents that were struggling financially.
Predatory.
It's giving predatorial. It's giving taking advantage.
It's giving Levitical predatory. All right. Oh, man.
They said that, you know, a lot of the people, like I said, they were picked up throughout various reasons or whatever. They said that one of the kids that was living in the cult was a lady named Fonda Favors. And she said that her family ended up on the compound after her older sister met somebody that was in the cult while they were on a bus. They said that Favors, who was at the time a young child, was talking to the person on the bus. And she was like, you know, I want a dollhouse. So she knew her mom was didn't have the coin to do those things. And so Mother Anna said, come back to the house. We can feed you. Blah, 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 blah. Mother Anna goes out, buys the house, gives it to the daughter. Then the daughter and the mom end up staying. Okay. So Favor's name was changed to Sister Rachel. Very confused how you go from, what was it, Fonda?
Yeah.
Fonda to Rachel.
Fonda.
Is Rachel a biblical name?
It is.
Now, once Rachel, Sister Rachel, and her family got in there, Rachel was separated from her mom, and she was beaten so badly to where she couldn't even cry at some points. Like, she said, at this point, if somebody hit me today, I still wouldn't cry. Because I cried so much at that point, I can't even cry anymore. Which is, I don't even think you can even imagine the how many times you have to get hit to where you just can't cry anymore. I can stomp my toe when I'm on the goddamn floor.
Cursing.
I mean floor. But like, you get beat so much as a child that you can't even say nothing no more. Okay.
I don't. You know what? Let me not. Never mind.
So she went through all those things, blah, blah, blah. Let's fast forward to March of 1988. Mother Anna's husband, Robert, was found dead, crushed under a pickup truck in the junkyard. The medical examiner said his death was accidental.
Was it?
Now, based off of what we just talked about in the last episode, I find it very weird and awkward that you are found unalive, ran over under a pickup truck. How you get under there? Who moved the truck to go forward upon your body? There's so many answers and questions, but in 1988, they probably was like, well, it's another black man. Fuck it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so accidental.
Sure.
Anna said, pew. I gotta move on with my life. So at which point, Anna started busting everybody's ass a little bit harder. Because Robert was dead, right? At which point, around that time, like, Anna was doing a lot. It was a lot. So Sister Rachel and Sister Rachel's mama had a confrontation with Anna. They got into it. Sister Rachel's mama whooped Anna's ass.
Yes.
And they ran away.
Yes.
And it got off.
Beat her ass.
Okay. So Sister Rachel had a sister that came there at the time. Her name was Sabrina. And at the time, she was in her 20s. So she stayed there. And she had a son named Marcos. Now, Anna had talked to Sabrina about getting rid of Marcos. She said that Marcos was full of the devil. And he was two, three years old.
What?
She had conversations with her about getting rid of him. So Sabrina, the girl, the sister, and another person and the baby, they flew to Puerto Rico in 1984. They took the boy, dressed him as if he was a girl. They took him to a Catholic church, dropped him off. Nobody ever heard from Marcos again.
What?
Yeah.
I am confusion.
Yeah.
Why we have to put the little boy in drag though? That's what I'm.
First time up in drags.
And you keep... No, I'm not. Nope, I'm not going to do it. Because I almost laughed. I'm not going to laugh at that. Nope. I refuse.
First time.
Move around, Kendra. Move around. Nope.
Virgin runway.
I'm not.
Y'all, I can't. I hope and pray that Marcos was left some where he was left. They left Marcos where he was because he did not need to be nowhere near Anna
at all
or none of these other motherfuckers in that damn house of prayer.
That okay? is wow. Wow. Okay.
So let's fast forward to 1992 when everything started to crumble around Anna. 1992 because Anna said that there was a little girl who was a member of the house. And they were at a revival meeting. You know, got to go to revival for the Pentecostal, baby.
Oh, there you go.
Got to go to revival, okay? So they was at the revival. And somebody said that the little girl smelled funny. Oop. They said she smelled funny. So Anna was like, yeah, okay. So she took a metal tub. Filled it with a half of box of Ultra Tide, a box of bleach, and two caps of Pick and Save bubble bath liquid. They said that the cult members put that baby girl in the bathtub, and Mother Anna said that maybe it would burn some of the evil out of her. So then, when they took her out of the tub, her body was fully covered in blisters. Long story short, the parents found her. And they told the parents, oh, it was an accident. They found the little girl tied to a bed with her arms on the bedpost and had a bunch of open wounds. And they said, no, we have to tie her here so she can't touch them. It'll make it worse.
What?
Long story short, she died.
What?
She died. So the parents was like, bitch, and they filed charges on Anna.
Okay.
So she got clocked. And she went to jail. However, but before she went to jail, she went on the run for 9 years.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Pentecostal church.
Holy God.
In the name of the Jesus Lord. They found her 9 years later in an attic in Alton, Illinois. Where she later served 6 months in 6 months in jail for a child abuse case when the little girl died. 6 months.
What?
6 months.
She only got 6 months for that?
6 months.
And after being on the run? Am I understanding that right?
Mm-hmm. 6 months. She's on the run for 9 years. She got 6 months. Okay.
This place is unreal.
It took 15 years before the next things happen, right?
Kendra.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. 6 months?
Yeah.
You boiled that little girl in chemicals.
It was just child abuse. Look, it was just child abuse.
And then tied her eye all right,
to the bedpost so she wouldn't touch said wounds. So the case that actually, at the end of the day, took Sister Mary Clarence down was a little boy who was named Iman Harper, and his name was Brother Moses. Okay. He was a little bitty baby, very cute, little brown skinned boy, whatever. In 1986, this was before all that, this was 86. So this came out after all those things. 1986, okay. This little boy was the son of a teenage mother. They came to the property. They said that she's like, I need help raising my son. You know, heard. You go somewhere where you know, oh yeah, we heard you can help people do it. All right, team mama. Girl, you gotta do what you gotta do. I get it. So they said that when the mother came and brought the little boy, they said that Anna took the little boy and her new husband, Jonah, was like, oh, this could be the son that we never had. So they basically took that kid and was trying to raise him as their own away from the mama, right? All right, so they said that at some point soon, Anna started starving the baby. She would beat him and lock him in closets.
But you
wanted him. That's what you wanted. You wanted him. They said that when they would try to give him a bath, that his lips would be so crusted over. Because you know when you be dehydrated, it be giving ashy.
Yeah.
Because that's how I know when I need to start drinking water, because it's giving perpetual, girl. Hold on. Okay. But they said that his lips were so crusted over. Like if you give him water, you could feel the layer of crust coming off his mouth. And this is a little baby, like less than 3 years old, like a little dude, right? And the lady that was interviewed, there's a couple of people that was interviewed after the fact that was part of the cult that was like, yeah, we can remember that. We can still remember how he smelled, how he felt. Just, it was just like all bad. What? So they said that, you know, they would find him in the closet, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, one day they found that baby dead in a laundry basket in the closet. And then they said that Anna ordered that child to be taken outside to an area where they did trash burning.
Yo.
They said the child was taken out there.
Yo.
He was burned in a trash heap. And that was that. So then the mother filed a missing persons report for her child.
Oh my God.
Because she had not seen him. And to this day, his remains still haven't been found. And this was in 1986.
Man.
They still haven't found it. Nobody knows nothing. So, fast forward to all the shit. Let's move on, because I don't want to give too much about the cult, because I don't want to give Mother Anna too much shit. At which point, her daughter ended up leaving her in the cult at some point. And in 2017, the daughter was like, how do we always say? I'm telling. She said, snitching. So, her daughter clocked the mama's tea, and the mama got arrested. She was 79 years old.
Good.
She got arrested, booked, charged. She got 30 years because she was already 79 years old. So she got 30 years for the unaliving of Iman and the little girl I talked about earlier. But here's the gag. She was in jail for 4 months and she died.
Ugh.
Because she had cancer.
Ugh.
So, it's not really like justice was served or anything.
It's not.
Because it's like, oh yeah, we clocked her. Yeah, we know who did it. Beep, 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 beep. What that mean? So there was no like justice served, but you know.
I hope she got beat up in jail a few times, at least. That's what I hope. I hope she was assaulted in jail.
I don't know. It don't say nothing about that because she was in the med ward because she was sick. So
I hope the nurses abused her. That's what I hope for her. I hope the nurses abused her while she was in there.
I could see that. Like, hope
they, they treated her really poorly.
But I wonder, like, if she was in there, if the nurses actually knew what she did and why she was in there.
If the nurses didn't know, the COs had,
because only knew. it was only like 4 months. So like, did they give the COs a rundown and be like, "Hey, this is coming in here. This is what's tea."
They be knowing when people, even the inmates be knowing when people show up with their charges being stuff. I don't know how, but they be knowing. So, man, I hope she would, like I said, I stand on it too. I hope she was assaulted. I hope she was treated poorly for the last 4 months of her cancer-ridden life. And I don't, cancer's nothing to make fun of, you know, but I hope she had a real rough go at the end.
Yeah.
Because fuck that bitch.
That's the end of that. That's the end of that. So, please be in mind, there was two houses of prayer. Because you remember I talked about Sweet Daddy? And you remember I talked about Sister Mother Anna?
Mother Anna.
So, it's Sweet Daddy and Mother Anna. So I would like to talk about that. So make sure you come by and follow me and talk about that so we can talk about Sweet Daddy and Mother Anna. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms. And comment, like, and subscribe. I'm on YouTube, all those things. Yeah. Okay, I love y'all. Bye.
These are their stories.